have imagined that his song would be played in church. I don't think so, but amazing. Thank you so much. That was great. That was great. One of my favorites. That's why I love us so much, because we can do anything. You know, there's no rules. Who knew that we're going to play Don Henley on a Sunday morning? How cool is that? All right, so to begin, we have been honoring and celebrating Black History Month this month by looking at some of the luminaries and those who African-Americans who contributed to New Thought and to the Science of Mind movement. And so we've got another video today that we're going to start with. My sound team hates it when I give them videos. They're loving me this morning.
Here's a little known Black History Science of Mind fact. Some of you might know that Founders Church of Religious Science opened in Los Angeles in 1960. But do you know it was designed by a Black man? Ernest Holmes asked Paul Revere Williams, the first African-American admitted to the American Institute of Architects, to sketch an idea for the building in 1957. Williams produced a sketch of an elliptical circle, and Holmes liked what he saw. To Holmes, the sketch was the perfect symbol for wholeness, unity, the unending and all-inclusive power of love. Williams designed many landmark buildings in Los Angeles, including the iconic LAX Airport Terminal. He was later named a fellow by the American Institute of Architects, a high honor for his outstanding achievements. Another Science of Mind Black History fact also involves Los Angeles and a famous singer.
Because God didn't make little green apples, it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
You might recognize this song and this deep, sultry singing voice.
No such thing as Dr. Seuss, no Disneyland. Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme.
1969's best song, Grammy Award winner for Little Green Apples, celebrated vocalist O.C. Smith.
And when myself is feeling low, I think about a face aglow and ease my mind.
The talented Smith experienced several career highs that only the best musical dreams are made of. But even though Little Green Apples hit number 2 on the Billboard charts and sold more than 1 million records, the former vocalist for phenomenal band leader Count Basie knew deep down there was something more. Smith told an interviewer, "After the music success I had, I was still searching for something and didn't know what it was. I kept looking outside of myself, not realizing the reaching is in the soul, not outside." His life gained new purpose in 1980 when he and his wife, Robbie Golson, discovered Science of Mind. Introduced by Dr. Joseph Murphy of Laguna Beach, Smith finally heard what he had believed for so long. God, as a metaphysical entity, one with all, belonging in each of us, and uniting us if we wish to see the Almighty. Inspired by the powerful spiritual principles he internalized, Smith even started explaining the metaphysical meanings of songs during his concerts. Profoundly struck by Science of Mind, Smith gave up his music career to study divinity, and in 1985, Dr. O.C. Smith became pastor of the City of Angels Science of Mind Center in Los Angeles.
We must recognize beauty right where we are. That's why Dr. Ernest Holmes said, "There is not a spot where God is not."
He gained a reputation for mixing jazz with storytelling and for being a loving force of financial support to single-parent households, low-income families, and foster children. The church's City of Angels Foundation also provided dozens of scholarships to help students attend colleges across the nation. Dr. O.C. Smith and Paul Revere Williams, Black evolutionaries in science of mind.
been fun this month to learn a little bit more about our history that has not been duly noted. And so we're so grateful to do that. And so this week, here we are. This month, our theme is the courage to love. And so far, we've talked about how it takes courage to be vulnerable and authentic in our relationships, to allow ourselves to really find a deep connection with someone else and to share our love freely. We've also talked about how that life, the universe, it loves you and wants to support you, but we're the ones who block ourselves. So that's what we talked about last week, is that as we open to accepting the gifts of the divine as they come rather than as we think they're supposed to be, then we start to move in that place of flow. So this week we're talking about freeing the heart. And as you've heard, I'm talking about forgiveness today. And so I've heard that there's a lot of misperceptions or misconceptions about forgiveness. And I sit with a lot of people, and over the years I've talked to a lot of people who've come through with the challenges that they're going through. And more often than you would think, when I suggest maybe a little bit of forgiveness work might be something that would serve them, and I always serve it up really gently, maybe you might want to consider doing a little forgiveness work on this issue. I inevitably get the response, well, Reverend Catherine, you don't know this situation. You don't know how bad it is for me. Because if you knew how bad it is for me, you would tell me to never forgive them, to never talk to them, and just block them out of my life, you know? And I sit and smile and nod my head and say, you're not ready yet, but you will be. You will be. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful spiritual practices. So often when we're going through Science of Mind classes, I find that that when we talk about God, we talk about the qualities of God, everyone comes up with the idea of forgiveness. What is God? God is love, God is light, God is peace, God is joy, God is forgiveness. Well, God is not forgiveness. God is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is what we do to get closer to God. Forgiveness is what we practice. We humans practice forgiveness, the spiritual practice of forgiveness, so that we can get closer to God. And when we are close to the divine, then our hearts are free. When our hearts are free, we can move forward in our life and be creators. We can participate in bringing forth the experiences that we want to have. But when we refuse to forgive, when we have these experiences that we refuse to process, when we refuse to let go of our hurts and our wounds and our angers that we have towards something that has happened to us, then we no longer have our own creative power to create the future. We are blocked. It's like being the picture I get of it. I'm a little bit of a visual person at times. And so the picture I get is that the past is wrapping around us like a big cord, and it's got us bound. And we can't go anywhere because we are so stuck and we're grounded into what happened to us. Now, none of this is going to, I guess I'll start with my I forgot what the word is, but I'll start with the idea of this, that this in no way diminishes the pain and the hurt that we've experienced in our lives. And there's not one person in this room who has not experienced a challenge, who has not experienced something that has made us feel like somebody else did something to us. Everybody has had them, whether we're talking the little things or the big things and everything in between. There's something that happens. We are. There's no love without forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without love. We cannot be humans in relationship with anybody else without stuff happening, right? There's that great bumper sticker, stuff happens. You fill in the word. Yeah, it happens. And so because we are human and because we are in relationships, there's no one in this room, I don't think, that lives up on a mountain that doesn't talk to anybody, you know, or isn't in relationship with anybody. If we are in relationship with someone, there's going to be a reason to forgive them, right? And I don't think that I don't get the irony of the fact that this was Valentine's Day week, by the way, that maybe it's some partners who weren't really happy with the experience of Valentine's Day that we have an opportunity for a gift. That was supposed to be a joke, just so you know. I don't really think that was a serious experience. But okay, So here we go. All right, so the idea is this, is that no matter what, we're going to have something to forgive, whether it's something small or it's something large. And when we don't do it, when we carry these things, when someone says something rude to us at Thanksgiving and somebody, some family member insults us, and then, you know, some business partner makes a choice or whatever it is, there's always something. And when we refuse to forgive it, when we hold on to it, what it does is it hurts us. It continues to harm and to hurt us, and it keeps us anchored to the past. And so every time we choose not to forgive, every time we try to stuff it and put it back in that suitcase of stuff that we, baggage that we carry around all the time with us, every time we do that, we get re-hurt. We get stuck to the past. Our divine channel of creativity, our divine essence gets diminished because we are imprisoning ourselves. It's not the other person. They go on, right? The other person in the situation maybe understands what has happened, and maybe they don't. Maybe they have no concept of how hurt we are. And they just go on with their lives, and that's that. But we are the ones that keep getting victimized over and over and over again when we refuse to let it go. Now, the truth is that forgiveness frees your heart. A lot of times we feel a grudge, like a heavy energy in our heart, like a constriction, right? It makes our hearts heavy. And that's an energy. That's an emotion. And our emotion has a physical component to it. That's why we feel it, right? When you're joyful and it's a really beautiful day and everything's going so beautifully, you feel light and expanded and open, right? And when you're hurt, when somebody says something hurtful and we take it personally, when somebody says something and it pierces our hearts, it's constrictive, right? Give me a nod. You with me? Yeah, you can feel it, right? And so what happens is that feeling continues to get in the way of our creativity. It continues to call forth similar experiences. So if we're living in our pain, if we're living in our blame of someone else, what it does is it calls forth to all those situations that can confirm it for us. So you keep pulling more of it into your life. Different people with different names and different bodies and different experiences keep showing up with the same story. Over and over and over again. And what that is it's the universe wanting to say to you, you've got an opportunity here. I'm trying to help you be free here. Come on, let's go. What are you going to do with this time? And we keep pulling it in and pulling it in and pulling it in until enough is enough. And you usually end up in my office saying, how do I do this? And I think that that's the challenge, is that we are not taught how to forgive. We are told from very early that you need to forgive. And it drives me crazy, especially I used to see it in preschool. And when my daughter was in preschool, that we teach these little kids to, okay, you need to go say I'm sorry. Go say you're sorry. You hurt them. You have to go say I'm sorry. Or you need to accept them just as they are without teaching us the tools as to how to do that. And that, I think, is the challenge. That's why we got a workshop today, by the way. So that's the first invitation, is that there are ways for us to systematically take back our energy, to take back our power, and to let it be. What it means is that it doesn't mean you're ever going to forget it. It doesn't mean that it makes it okay. Practicing forgiveness does not mean that it's okay for somebody else to hurt you. It doesn't make their actions all right. But what it does is it unplugs your energy out of the situation to say, okay, this is done, I'm complete with this, and I want to move forward. And when we can do that, we can start to move forward freely with our creativity and our love. When we release that negative bind to another person, that heaviness lifts, and it allows expansion and space. And so what we can do is we can learn to love and to trust again. We can learn to love and to trust again. Because I know how hard it is when we're hurt. I know how hard it is when we feel betrayed. I know how hard it is when we step forward in trust with someone and we get slammed for it. But it says more about them than it does about you. And I think that we're so afraid of showing up as being weak. I think we're so afraid of showing up in our belief that we're broken or that there's something wrong with us, that somebody did something to us. And I think that that makes us hide it, and we pretend that everything's okay. And what happens is that that whole coming together of all of those different experiences, so the initial incident happens, we put up our facade, I'm good, everything's fine. And then we go along and we keep calling those experiences in and in and in and in until we can't take it anymore. And so there's no way around processing, being present, and acknowledging the fact that we've been hurt. You're human, and your heart is tender. It's also fierce and powerful. And so we don't learn that fierce and powerful part unless we are honest with ourselves as to what hurts us. And so as we move through this experience, we start to realize that it's up to us, that we have the power. That's the good and the bad of it, I have to tell you. That's the great part, and the not so great part is that it's up to us whether we want to let it go or whether we want to hold on to it for the rest of our lives. My guess is that everybody in this room also knows somebody who has held on to a grudge late into their life and what that does to us, to them, and what kind of person we become when that constriction continues for years and years and years. Then our lives get smaller, our relationships get brittle, the experience of ourselves gets hard and painful, and none of us deserve that. No one deserves that experience. You are the one who can let it go. And I think our fear of acknowledging it, our fear of experiencing the pain again, is what holds us back. But I have to tell you, your heart is strong and fierce. It's powerful. And it can take being present with the fact that you were hurt. And once you acknowledge it and experience it, the pain starts to dissipate. You start to let go of that, and you can see what was at the core of this experience. It was there to support you in some way. I can't tell you how. Only you can tell yourself that. You can mine these experiences for what the gift at the center of it is. But there's something there for you that you can learn about yourself. That you are stronger than you thought you were. That you are committed to being a loving presence in the world, even if somebody else wants to hurt you for it. You are the one who gets to create and decide the experience of your life. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says this. Oh, did I put it on? Oh, yeah, okay. We should do well to remember this lesson. How often we condemn when we should forgive. How often censure when we might praise. What untold grief of heart might be relieved by words of cheer and forgiveness. Remembering that the Spirit holds no evil toward man and that God is love, we should emulate this divine lesson and forgive all, that our hearts may be free from the burden of our own condemnation. Our hearts can be free from the burden of our own condemnation. We are the ones that condemn ourselves to live in that purgatory of pain, and we can let that be. So I found a couple of stories of forgiveness I wanted to share with you. I was inspired by these this week. I found from the Associated Press, there was a story about an Iranian woman whose name was Samira Alinejad. She told the AP that retribution had been her only thought after her teenage son was murdered. But in a dramatic turn at the gallows, remember this was Iran, literally moments before the killer was to be executed, Alinejad made a last-minute decision to pardon him, and she's now seen as a hero. From the book Why Forgive, there's a story about Stephen McDonald and how he was a young police officer in 1986 when he was shot by a teenager in New York Central Park in an incident that left him paralyzed. He says, "I forgave the shooter because I believe the only thing worse than receiving a bullet in my spine would have been to nurture revenge in my heart." MacDonald wrote, while the younger man was serving his prison sentence, MacDonald corresponded with him, hoping that one day the two could work together to demonstrate forgiveness and nonviolence. Unfortunately, the young man died in a motorcycle accident just 3 days after his release, but MacDonald still travels the country to deliver his message. According to People magazine, teen Jordan Howe took his stepfather's gun to school and accidentally shot Addie Guzman Jesus' daughter, Lourdes, while showing the firearm to friends. Astonishing the judge and community, Guzman Jesus not only forgave the boy, but also asked for him to get a lighter sentence, telling reporters that she believes her daughter would have wanted it that way. Howe will only serve 1 year in juvenile detention and will visit local schools with Guzman Jesus to warn kids of the danger of guns. And after a long shift at the fire department, a story about Matt Swatzel, he fell asleep while driving and crashed into another vehicle, taking the life of a pregnant mother, June Fitzgerald, and injuring her 19-month-old daughter. According to Today, Fitzgerald's husband, a full-time pastor, asked for the man's diminished sentence and began meeting with him for coffee and conversation. Many years later, the two men remained close. Fitzgerald says, "You forgive as you've been forgiven." And then in May of 2014, New York Times photographer Peter Hyogo began a photo essay project in Rwanda to demonstrate the forgiveness between the Hutus and the Tutsis, the two cultures involved in the 1994 Rwandan genocide that took millions of lives. In the photos, members from both cultures stand side by side, illustrating a story of forgiveness and how the subjects' lives are now thoroughly intertwined. And so I share these stories to illustrate my point that there are people who can forgive enormous things. There are people who can practice this and experience forgiveness for things that we can't even imagine. So why is it so hard for us to let go of the small potatoes, right? In terms of most of the things that we carry with ourselves that harden our hearts towards someone else are relatively small potatoes compared to this. And it's a powerful experience to be able to step into that place of willingness to let it go. That's the first step. When we are willing to let it go, to allow it to be different. And so why do we hold on? You know, I think that there's this part of us, I know that there's this part of us that's our ego that really loves being right. Right? There's this part of us that really loves being in the right, that really feels better about ourselves when we are right. And so when something happens, we move into that place of righteousness. They did me wrong. I'm right there wrong. But what that does for us is it closes the door to healing. It closes the door for expansion and evolution. It closes the door for us to allow for our own growth when we need to be right. But what you realize when you start to look at life as a spiritual adventure, when we start to look at life as that spiritual unfoldment, what happens is this: we realize that it's not us that's forgiving. It's us being in alignment with life. We grow up all over each other. That's what we do here. Our lives are intertwined, and we get to start to see that it's the divine that does the forgiving. It's not us. It's our willingness and our openness to allow that to happen. Personally, humanly, from our place of the ego, none of those people would have been able to do any forgiveness. None of them would have been able to do it. But when they realize that there's something greater operating, when we understand spirit, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, but God is the one that guides us and supports us when we decide that we're ready to forgive. We don't need to know how to do it. We just need to decide that we're ready. That song was right on today. Love is my decision. And when I decide to love, then everything unfolds in front of me just for that. And so forgiveness is one of those topics that I always feel like, oh, I'm going to do a Sunday on forgiveness. But what I love about it is that I can stand here and look at each and every one of you and see you as free. I can see that there's a possibility of you, your heart's being completely free. I can see that you can have the opportunity to step forward in power and create a magnificent experience of your life. I see it every time you walk in the door. But you're the one that has to decide to let all that other stuff go. You're the one that can free yourself. It's like the birdcage with the door open, but you're comfortable on your perch. Right? Get that picture. The door is open. There's nothing holding you back from this except you and that fear of what you're going to experience out that door. But I can tell you that you're guided and supported and loved. And so if you take flight and you move out of that cage, you can move into a place. It might be scary for a second, but you're going to move into that place of freedom. Imagine the flight, that beautiful flight out of your prison. You are the one that gets to move out of the prison that you're holding yourself in. And so I also want to remind you that we're not denying the fact that you've been victimized. These things are real, and the pain is real, and we acknowledge that really difficult things happen in our lives. They do. But you have the choice whether you want to be a victim to it for the rest of your life or not. You are the one that gets to decide if you are going to allow this experience that happened in your past to steal your future, like the reading said. It will steal your future, and you will be stuck in the role of being a victim. Who wants to be stuck in the role of being a victim? You are a powerful creation. You are an empowered divine emanation of God, and you can create anything that you want. And so deciding to create, you know, yourself being hurt over and over and over again doesn't serve anyone. What I think serves everyone is for you to be free. And the thing that'll make that other party, you know, in their place is for you to live a joyful, full, amazing life. They don't get to steal your freedom. They don't get to steal your power. They don't get to steal your life and your future. But we are the ones that have to decide that. We are the ones that have to open to that process. And we are the ones that have to stand up and say, yes, I am a place of love. I am a space of love no matter what's happened to me. I may have been hurt, but you know what? That doesn't matter. Because the love that's inside of me is stronger than anything that could hold it back. And so the way to move out of being a victim is by practicing forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for all the mistakes you think you've made, all the ways you think you've screwed up. You got to forgive yourself. Because you know what? If you knew better, you'd do better. You did the best you could. Let's practice forgiveness. Let's forgive our parents. God bless our parents. God bless all the parents. I can just wait till my kid has to forgive me. God bless it. All right, let's forgive our parents for doing the best that they could to be who they were and for all the ways that they couldn't show up the way that we thought we needed them to. Let's forgive them. Let's forgive our old lovers and our old friends and the baristas at Starbucks for getting our order wrong and that person who gets in your way somehow along your life path that just crosses your path and leaves. But leaves a little present for you in the process. Let's forgive them. And most of all, let's practice forgiveness for God. I'll tell you, when I was diagnosed with the cancer a couple years ago, I had a real fight with God. Because that was not supposed to happen. Let me tell you, from my mind, that was not supposed to happen. And the biggest forgiveness that I had to do in that was with God. And so sometimes I think that we're holding this idea about what our life is supposed to be and what our relationship to God is, and we judge it. Let's forgive God, because life is life, and it's how we align to it and what we do with it. It's ours to do. And so practicing these, realizing that even if we don't have a big issue with Aunt so-and-so and Uncle Joe or whoever, that if you don't have any big thing to do to forgive, you've got plenty to forgive. Because we hold ourselves so harshly. And we hold some things that happen in our lives so harsh that if we could practice a little bit of kindness and a little bit of softness and give our love to ourselves that way, you'll start to see that everything dissipates. Those binds start to loosen. We get to start to express and to stretch and to start to create again and move in the direction of the light. It's time to move in the direction of the light. Not that light. Don't go into the light. Not yet. We're not ready to go into the light yet. It's not that light. You know what I'm talking about. It's a different kind of light. So I invite you to open to practicing forgiveness and to see how filled with love your life can really be and how light and free your heart becomes. And so again, there's two things I'm going to finish with today. One is the invitation. Reverend Sherry and I are, again, addressing a process that can aid you in working through some forgiveness. We're going to have some fun today. So I know this feels a little deep here because it's some painful stuff that we're dealing with. But with some lightness, you can start to move easily through stuff. And so we're here from 12 to 2 today doing a workshop, and we invite you to do it. If you've got something, and I know you all got something, but if you've got something to forgive and to work on, we invite you to come and spend some time with us. And second, I'm going to finish with a little bit of a meditation here that was in our book for the month from Louise Hay. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and take a breath. And if you're comfortable, place your hands on your heart. And so if you can't feel this forgiveness and this love in your heart right now, I want you to use your imagination and pretend that you do, because that's creative. And so taking a breath, I just want you to take in these words here and just make them personal for yourself. I am lovable and life loves me. I forgive myself for all the times I've been afraid and I am not lovable. I am lovable and life loves me. I forgive myself for judging myself and for not believing in my goodness. I forgive myself for feeling unworthy and for believing I don't deserve love. I am lovable and life loves me. I forgive myself for all the times I've criticized and attacked myself. I forgive myself for rejecting and giving up on myself. I am lovable and life loves me. I forgive myself for doubting myself and for not trusting in me. I forgive myself for my mistakes. I am lovable and life loves me. I ask for forgiveness so that I can learn. I accept forgiveness so I can grow. I am lovable and life loves me. Deep breath. I am lovable and life loves me. And so it is. Love you.